Well, let's pray together before we look at those words from the book of James. Lord God, would you grant us more of your Spirit, that we might live as those who are wise, that we might know your wisdom, and that we might work for peace. Amen. Well, imagine I told you that I was a great portrait artist, that I had great skill with watercolour. I guess you'd say, show me. Then what would you think if I showed you wax crayon drawings that looked like they'd been done by a disinterested and distracted toddler? Imagine someone told you that they were a really great football player, a great striker. Might you ask them about their best goals? You might see if they've got video of themselves playing. What would you think if they proceeded to show you a video of them as a lazy defender who simply watches the opposition run rings around her and never manages to stop them scoring? Imagine you're out walking in the countryside, but a little lost, and someone approaches you and tells you confidently that they are great at reading maps. I guess you'd say, help. What would you think then if they didn't seem to be able to even hold the map the right way around, or even suggest a safe route back to where you wanted to be? In the New Testament book of James, there is a clear message that the life of faith is more than knowing the right stuff, whilst that is important. It is more than speaking the right words, although that is really important. Just look a few verses earlier in chapter 3. The life of faith is to combine knowledge, truthful speech, and wise action. There is the focus on backing up what you claim with your deeds. If you've got a Bible in front of you or a Bible app on your phone, do open it up to James chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at those verses 13 to 18 this morning. Look down at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. What are you claiming for yourselves? James asks. Now, this may be directed at some quarrelsome leaders or those seeking to raise their status without having proved themselves. But it also speaks to us today. These verses are a hymn to praise wisdom in that second half of that chunk of James 3. But before we get there, there is a warning. Who is wise and understanding among you? If you claim to follow Christ, are you being wise? Are you living out God's wisdom? As Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Perhaps on this Remembrance Sunday, we are particularly conscious of the difficult decisions taken and the wisdom needed by members of the armed forces. The British Army values are courage, discipline, respect for others, integrity, loyalty, and selfless commitment. And in the Army's own leadership code, they write, the Army's values are part of good leaders who live them 24/7, 365, whatever the situation. The values, the wisdom, are useless unless lived out. For the soldier, that is meant to be in the whole of life, 24/7, 365. In the follower of Jesus, it is meant to be in the whole of life, too. Are you known as someone who is wise? Not just because you know lots of things, but because you can bring that knowledge to bear in an appropriate way in whatever situation you find yourself in. If you were to look back on the past week and listen back to the conversations that you've had, read back the things that you've posted online, even the things you thought, how would you answer James's question, who is wise and understanding among you? The next sets of verses give us a picture of bad wisdom that is really no wisdom at all, and then a model of the wisdom of heaven. So verses 14 to 16. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Just as good wisdom would be seen in behavior, so foolishness leads to chaos. Can you see how verse 14 is the opposite of wisdom? In verse 13, we saw how a good life by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. And in verse 14, bitter envy, selfish ambition. The person is claiming to be wise, and in reality is nowhere near wisdom. Douglas Moo points out that the Greek words paired, which are translated to give us envy and selfish ambition in our English versions of the Bible, are only found once before the New Testament, and that is in Aristotle, to describe the narrow partisan zeal of the factional, greedy politicians in his own day. We can be quick to point the finger when we feel someone has selfish ambition. Your mind just now perhaps went to a politician, either on the left or the right, or perhaps someone at work who you describe as cutthroat or willing to mistreat anyone in order to get promotion themselves. But as we read God's word this morning, the challenge comes squarely to us. Not that others shouldn't be challenged by this too, but we aren't exempt. And James goes on to describe this self-proclaimed wisdom. Our translation's helpfully giving us quotation marks around the word wisdom. We might say this so-called wisdom. And in case you're in any doubt, James describes it as earthly, unspiritual, demonic. James is far bolder than we might be. The so-called wisdom that leads to disorder and the practice of evil is earthbound in its vision. That is, it doesn't recognize God's ways and God's power. Its source is evil rather than good. It might be popular to say or to sing, search for the hero inside yourself, or be true to who you are. But the Bible suggests this is a recipe for disaster. We need God's help, his guidance, his wisdom. So can you see the contrast in the next few verses, verses 17 and 18? But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. How rich a description. This is like a picture of Jesus. His is the example we are being encouraged to follow. And it is about the head, the heart, and the hands. Adamson writes, wisdom, like love, is not just a fact by a spirit, but a spirit. This wisdom flows into right action. The fruit is righteousness. Real wisdom is blameless, pure, unadulterated. It is not compromised, not conflicted. Those other qualities are so attractive to us, perhaps with one exception. Don't we want to be people who are peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere? Don't we want to be led by those people who model this kind of wisdom? Did you notice what I left out of the list? Submissive in our translation. But this has a sense here as willing obedience to what is right. Willing obedience to what is right, just like Jesus' own example. So what are we called to do? Perhaps you find the world around you is becoming a more complicated place, and you're searching for wisdom and for peace. Earlier in this letter in the Bible, James writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God." Seek God for wisdom. Perhaps at this time of remembrance, and with the constant reporting of conflict, we are acutely aware of how little peace there seems to be in our world, in our hearts. As I close, can I encourage you with two things? To be wise is to become more like Jesus, to walk in his ways. And the sower waits for the harvest with care and expectancy. So trusting Jesus rather than yourself is a good place to start. Look to his example and you'll be aware of how much you need him. As Christians, we believe that we need rescuing and restoration, that we can't please God by ourselves, that what we do and think and say, those things that are wrong, that create conflict between us and God and between us and each other. In Jesus, we are offered rescue, forgiveness, and a new wise way of living. So when you need wisdom, even this week, ask for God's help. Seek to follow Christ's example and remember that we are called as a community to follow Jesus. So part of the answer may be talking to and praying with other followers of his. Then the sower waits. We can be so impatient. We know that sowing in peace, planting the seeds of righteousness, will bring a harvest. Wisdom that is good and pure leads to the flourishing of communities in marked contrast to disorder, chaos, and evil. We need to be those who seek this wisdom for our families, our churches, and our communities. It will be distinctive rather than defensive. The harvest will be a demonstration of God's good ways and offer hope to our needy world. So may you discover that peace that the world cannot give, the peace that comes from a life lived with the wisdom of God. May your words and actions bring peace to others as you seek to walk the same path as Jesus, whose strength and wisdom was displayed in meekness and gentleness. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Amen.